Thank you all for tuning in. I told you that it was Double Trouble Fridays, but not really Double Trouble, right? Because I forgot about last week's episode, but that's okay. So with this one, I have another episode interview in honor of Black History Month. It was way back when I first started the podcast. I have known this person for a very long time, and he has made a big jump, a big pivot last year into the restaurant industry. So much so that he has the trendiest Black-owned restaurant in the city of Greensboro. A wise person once told me that you need to cultivate where you are. And even though Greensboro seems like such a small city, it's actually a place where Black entrepreneurs can shine. Join me as we take a glimpse into the past where Mike Clark was the owner of Green Street, of the club scene in Greensboro, and now he is the owner of The Box, but it's called Box Office, but for short, it's The Box, and it is the trendiest Black-owned restaurant of the city. Thanks for listening. If you see us in the club, it's a rock by the tub. We ain't having fun in the week. In the DJ booth, like an independent group. Like, look, this the record we working. Play this shit 100 times. If you don't, we gon' be in here every single night that you working. Shout out to my people with a job. I hope you don't fall asleep tomorrow when you working. I was macking on this chip, my partner tapped me on the back. I turned around like, you can't you see me working. She a waitress or a stripper. If it's past midnight, then she tell you she working. And we hustle before we can play. So even on Memorial Day, my nigga, don't bother me, I'm working. 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 Thank you for tuning in. This is Alexis DeAndre, your host of Expressive Espresso. This is the first episode of Behind the Scenes series, and I am here on set with Mike Clark. Michael Clark is a club owner of Green Street in Greensboro, North Carolina, and has had much success in the club industry. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. So I wanted to talk about your transition as far as club promoter, club owner. So how did it all begin?
From the bottom. Lots of losses, lots of lessons, a lot of experience. Monetary, emotionally, a lot of time lost. But, you know, it's all lessons and it's all about what you learn from it and what you make out of it. You know what I mean?
What's the biggest lesson that you would say that you learned throughout the transition? Because initially you started from like a, I guess, a 9-to-5, right?
Yeah, I started 9-to-5 and it kind of wasn't for me. I'm not one to do and build for other people. I'd rather build for myself. The biggest lesson is you got to believe in your product. You know what I mean? Like, you got to believe and sell it to other people. And, you know, if you, they're not going to buy something that they don't believe in. You know what I mean? Nor will they believe in the beginning. So you got to make them believe. So, you know, just believe in your product and stand firm on your product and don't let other people put their vision on your product. You got to know what you want to do and build that. And like I said, in those lessons that you learn, you know, change it or, you know, maneuver it how you need to, but, you know, just stand firm on it.
Okay. So the product, I want to touch on that. Like, I would say that being in a club is like an experience. So would you say that's the product that you're selling?
Not really. At first, you got to sell yourself. You know what I mean? You got to sell yourself to people so you be able to pull people out. You know what I mean? Just putting the club out there, they don't care. You know what I'm saying? The club existed before you 9 times out of 10. So you got to just sell yourself and sell your personality and, you know, show people a good time so they know or they'll be willing to give you a shot and come out and party with you or wherever you are. You know what I mean?
Well, how did you set yourself apart from the competition? Because I know that there's always competition everywhere. So how did you set yourself apart?
That's a good question. Well, my competition came into it as a college student and kind of grew into the promotion game. I was super grown when I came into the game. So Like, it was, you know, it was kind of like I embraced, nobody wanted to let me in. I kind of embraced the hate and kind of, you know, people, I'm a good guy. Well, I consider myself a good guy. Other people do as well. So, you know, I kind of became the underdog and I embraced it and kind of built off of it.
All right. So going from embracing it, how did you embrace being the underdog and what steps did you take historically?
I'm a competitive guy. I'm my only child. So, you know, I kind of always had to make my own way. My parents really didn't have much to pass down, so I had no choice but to embrace it. It was either embrace it or move on, you know what I mean? When you got people cheering you on, like, you know, good people cheering you on, telling you to keep going, it's kind of easy. And then when you also kind of have no choice because you got mouths to feed, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
So for a CEO standpoint and always thinking ahead, what kind of projects have you launched now that you are seeing the success of it?
The revamp of Green Street. Green Street has been here 16 years. It's been a lot of different things in the 16 years. It's a live show venue. It was birthed as a live show venue. And that was back in 99, I believe. It was a live show venue. And back then, a live show market was thriving. Now, not so much because people don't really want to pay. It's a hit or miss. You lose a lot of money on a live show thing. But a lot of people wanted to see the venue stay a live show venue. But we do plan on doing it just to kind of keep the city happy, keep people happy. But rebranding and put pumping life back into Green Street, that's kind of been my and it's kind of coming to light now. You know what I mean? We're open Wednesday through Sunday and everything is going. You know what I mean? Everything is flowing.
You're open Wednesday through Sunday. What do you have on Wednesdays through Sundays?
Wednesday is the open mic night. It's more like a Love Jones, you know, live band, live poetry type of deal. It's real. The vibe, it's funny seeing the club be able to do different things. And whatever the tone is set, the building embraces it. It's hilarious to watch. But Wednesday is kind of the smooth open mic. Thursday is the frat boy college night, based around UNCG, Elon, High Point University. Friday is the hip hop night that has been in this building for 5 years now. And we brought it here in five years ago, and it's been successful. Saturday, it's a rental. It's an open day, but we're going to do this thing that they do overseas called Silent Disco. With the headphones and the three different DJs. That's kind of going to be Saturday night. And then Sunday during the day, we do a day party every week now.
That's great. And I've actually went to, I don't know if this would be a competitor, but I went to an open mic. And one of your promoters was there and promoted Wednesday. So how do you do like the promotion? Is that one of your strategies that you do?
I mean, we got people allocated to different nights. I can't do it all. I've tried. I can't do it all. And, you know, I'm 33 now. So, you know, I can't really go on the college campuses and promote to the college kids. So, you know, we got different people allocated to different nights. It's getting easier throughout the years. You know what I mean? This is my 10th year in. I got in 2007. This is my 10th year and I've learned a lot in 10 years.
And so how do you balance that with your marriage, your new son, your daughter, your, you know, family? How is that?
I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And I'm always exhausted. So I'm still kind of learning. My son, 2 months now. And, you know, I had one child for years, 10 years, actually, well, 11. So it's hard trying to balance the two. And the different ventures, you know, that I have going on, but, you know.
And I'm sure you definitely see that as, like, motivation to, you know, feed your family and stuff like that and whatnot.
Yeah, it's motivation, but I want to, my biggest goal as far as my family goes is to set everybody up to where the next generation won't have to necessarily find their way, per se, you know what I mean? I want them to, you know, if they decide to go a different direction, that's the decision that they made. But, you know, I still want them to at least have something to walk into. You know what I mean? Like, that's what a lot of other cultures have that we don't have as black people, is generational wealth. That's my main goal. It's not really, it's about me, you know what I mean? But I don't care about too much of anything. I just want to set the family up.
This is a typical interview question, but where do you see yourself in the next 5-10 years? And even as technology and social media evolves, how do you see Green Street and Michael Clark evolving?
Well, I'm more of a coach. I always find key players. I'm a coach. I've been doing it for years. Actually, once I learned that concept is the moment it changed. You know what I mean? My success changed because I was trying to play coach. I'm trying to play player. I'm water boy. You know what I'm saying? They can't do it all. So, in 5 years, I don't know. I can't really say. Everything has been happening so fast. I don't know. I'm strategic, but I'm not a huge planner. I think about things and I'm not scared to take a risk. If I lose on it, so be it. You know what I mean? But I'm not a huge planner. Never have been. That's a weakness of mine. But so I really have no answer the way I would be in 10 years.
What is the newest project that you have for Green Street that you can share with us?
Well, the Silent Saturdays. We did it 2 weeks ago. It was a huge success. We had probably about 250 come out on it. And it was on the rooftop. There's a noise ordinance in Greensboro saying after 11 o'clock, you can't have amplified noise outside, which killed the nightlife scene downtown because you have us, you have Limelight. There are two rooftop clubs. Limelight kind of made adjustments to their roof to where they could have music outside. It killed ours. Nobody knew what to do with the building because the roof was the hot spot. So, the Silent Saturdays kind of gives us the roof back at night with the headphones. So we kind of find a loophole in the system, you know, with the Silent Saturdays. I'm super duper excited about that. And it's going to be new to the market. So, you know, when you in any business, when you find a niche, you know what I mean? It's kind of a good thing because it sets you apart from everybody else. So.
Great. So where can everybody find you on social media? And
I'm Why Dislike Mike on Instagram and Snap. And Twitter, Mike Clark on Facebook.
My final question that I have for you, what is an app or a system that you currently use that you just can't live without?
I'm big on keeping your mental clear. You know what I mean? It's this documentary called The Secret. I watch that thing, or I keep up with a lot of the accounts on Instagram that kind of share the law of attraction. And, you know, it's all about keeping your mental in order, believing, because, you know, the first thing you can do is believe. I've tested the theory. You know, I put something out there like I want to do in a year. I'm going to have this, just like the barbershop. You know, I just opened a barbershop a year ago. I was looking at buildings for a barbershop. Didn't tell nobody. It was just kind of one of those things. I'm like, I didn't even have any money to do it at the time. But it was like, you know, I think I want to open a barbershop. A year later, I got a phone call. Hey, man, I got this barbershop. You want in? And, you know, it kind of went from there. And I've tested that theory numerous times, and it's always worked. Even with Green Street, you know, we originally, as promoters, got kicked out of the building. When they called me back, I said to myself, you know, I'm going to own that building one day. You know what I mean? Well, I own the business. The opportunity presented itself. You know what I mean? So I'm the secret. And the secret and the mastermind principle is kind of two things that I hold dear as far as what I believe in and, you know, hold close.
Well, thank you so much for doing this interview. And if you guys can hear, we are behind the scenes. I'm actually on location for this interview. This has been your host, Alexis DeAndrew with Espressive Espresso.
Aren't you tired of making those same grammar mistakes over and over again with that email? Tired of seeing the laziness on an email with the words want instead of won't? There's an easier way to stand out from the crowd. Introducing Grammarly. Grammarly's focus is to make sure everything you type is easy to read, effective, and mistake-free. Try them out using the code bit.ly/i-before-e2. That's bit.ly/i-before-e2. Thanks for listening.